So I'm on the BJJ Fanatics website, and I see three new videos by some guy named Thomas Radzinski. You familiar with that guy at all?
Nope, absolutely not.
No? Well, he's got some good stuff. Three brand new videos. They're getting amazing reviews, which is good to see as well. But you got to tell us about them real quick?
Yeah. You know, I had you guys already know, but I had opportunity to go to Boston, shoot three more instructionals, one on butterfly hook, complete guide for butterfly hook, two, wrap, lapel, and submit them. And three, we have taking the back. It's particularly designed for guys for over 40 because there is no climbing involved. All the back days are on the ground. Very, very full and effective system. So dip into it. I'm really hoping that this is going to help your jiu-jitsu and really take it to the next level.
BJJFanatics.com. Just search R-O-Z-D-Z. We have all had that situation where after classes when we want to ask a question. And Thomas, a lot of those questions you've already answered, right, at Ask a Black Belt.
Yeah, it's another podcast that I'm running. It's on podcast, all podcast platforms, plus on YouTube. You can find it anywhere. Just search for my name, search for Ask a Black Belt. At this point, over 100 episodes, different questions, jiu-jitsu, life-related, but something that everybody comes across, and often these questions sink in our mind, but we don't ask for whatever reason. So if that benefits you, go there, listen. It actually might help your jiu-jitsu, might help your life as well. And if you have any questions, find me on Instagram and drop me a line. I'll be happy to answer your question and mention your name during the episode.
Welcome to Raw Radio.
And we're alive.
Here we go. Yeah. All right. That was fun.
One of the shorter episodes we've done.
Yeah.
One of the shorter, you know. To the point. But I feel like it was rich with the amount of information that we really share. And it's a shame because I really want to get him back again and at some point. Simply because, and we talk about Javier Velasquez, but we didn't even talk about like his beginnings or where he started. We really pivoted this whole thing into his conceptual approach to jiu-jitsu. So you've been on the mat for how long now?
I don't know, 6 years.
6 years. 6 years. And what is your take on what he was sharing from a conceptual perspective?
I always think that conceptual is better than step-based. Because, and I was thinking about it at one point during the conversation, is it's like people think that conceptual means more. There's more to learn. There's more. And it's kind of not, because it you know, looking at it from two different sides, like if I am progressing, I am trying to achieve a goal in a role, and somehow what I'm doing gets shut down. If I'm step-based, I don't know what to do anymore, right? It got shut down. But if you think conceptually, it's like, okay, well, it's just, you just got to deviate from the path a little bit. So I think that people that learn and stick to, you know, the step-based, kind of maybe limit themselves in a way, you know. And then looking at it from the defensive standpoint is, if you know three or four, there's really only three or four options for this person. Well, then you know how to navigate them and get out of a tough situation. Especially if that other person is step-based. Because if you throw them a curveball, what are they going to do? They're going to swing and they're going to miss, right? So I think that that's a great way to look at jiu-jitsu. You know, and then he also, you know, what I did like about it too is he has a goal in mind. And that goal isn't scoring points. That goal is the quickest path to the finish, the easiest path to the finish. So it's good stuff. It's cool.
Yeah, it kind of, you know, reminds me of, and he made multiple analogies of phrases throughout their conversation, like finishing versus points, a submission versus points. It clearly is what he's talking about, is conceptual approach to holistic jiu-jitsu as a whole thing, right? As an art, as an activity. However, I do feel like the guys individuals who do compete, or that's their focus, you know, there is something to be said about scoring points. It is a game, right?
Well,
there's a rule set, right? It's a game, right? So you don't always win by a submission. Matter of fact, I don't think many matches get won by submission these days. They really don't.
Why though? Is it because people are focused on points?
Because people are focused on winning, not on points.
Right.
They are focused on winning. The end result is for your hand to go up, right? And if you win by one advantage, right, you still won.
Sure.
That's the focus for many, many out there, right?
Right.
It's not to win, you know, with the best submission or the most spectacular jiu-jitsu. No, it is to win, period. And I think, unfortunately, this is the consequence of what we are seeing today as jiu-jitsu. It is not as appealing and visually entertaining because every little thing matters from a point perspective, you know? And unfortunately, that's the consequence. That's the price that we pay.
Yeah, and I there are some people that don't have that mentality, and I see them finishing a lot. But I think that's because it's just the game that it's their game, not the game they play. It's theirs. But
also depends on the rule set. Like if you look at ADCC or mm-hmm. you look at other, you know, other venues, they encourage, EBI, they encourage submission. They discourage the points, right? By the rules that they are in place. So you're more inclined to chase the win versus chase the individual points or the advantages. You know, the IBJJF is the biggest one that caters towards the point system. And I think that's how the system is set up for them. Like it, you know, love it or hate it, it doesn't matter. The point is you're entering a rule set, specific rule set, and you do need to play by their rule set. That's just how it is, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the rules are the rules, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the way he's looking at it and getting back to that is just thinking differently about jiu-jitsu. Your results are going to be the same, no matter what rule set you're in, I think, you know, is the way kind of he would approach it. Because your goal is the submission. Your goal is a win, but it's a concrete win. There's no room for interpretation, I don't think, right? It's over. Your hand was raised because you ended the match, you ended the fight, rather than the time running out. And he did say, you know, I can look up at the clock at some point and be like, oh, I'm down a couple points. Okay. Well, I can get a couple points easy. That's not a problem. You know, if the time's running out and I'm down a couple, well, I'll just get those couple points. But that's not his goal. His goal isn't to be up at when time runs out, you know. He wants that hand raised before time runs out.
I think what's important too here to acknowledge and really think about this is the fact is whether you win or you don't submit or you don't submit is the learning curve that he's talking about,
right?
Or the how successful are you as a student to learn the jiu-jitsu and bring a higher result for yourself, mm-hmm. right? And then how are you as an instructor providing the same information to your students, right? Is the old school teaching step by step, or even conceptual, the new age teaching, or what Javier is talking about? Because I feel like his way is slightly different than conceptual. It's he goes deeper into strategy and mm-hmm. you know, how to manipulate and control the situations,
right,
versus teaching conceptually. So you know, all of that, I guess I appreciated that a lot, that he's one of the guys who thinks different. He's introducing a new thought to old school jiu-jitsu. He's introducing a different way of giving students more success and raising their learning curve, mm-hmm. you know, expediting the learning for them, and essentially bringing, you know, jiu-jitsu, making jiu-jitsu more accessible, because ultimately, I think, end of the day, that's what we got to be looking at. You know, how accessible is jiu-jitsu to everybody all around us?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that what he's doing is he's limiting options for others, right? For his opponent or whoever he's rolling with. He's pushing them down, you know, down his path. He's getting them to, they're not following even. He's pushing them, right? And he's going to make them make a mistake, and then oops, it's over. He's going to make them panic, right? I think that's pretty cool, because instead of, I'm going to lead you down this path and you're going to come along willingly, it's like, mm-hmm. No, this is where I'm going. You're just going there too. And you might even get there a little bit before me. And then that's when I end it all. And I think that's a cool way to look at things. And what's really cool about it is I haven't looked into it much, but he's got it mapped out. He's got it planned out. He can teach you how to do it rather than just, you know, it's a concept. He's got the steps worked. That's funny, right? We're talking about conceptual and thinking differently, but he's still got it all mapped out, which is kind mm-hmm. of,
it is steps. You know,
it is steps.
It is steps,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I don't think it's moves. And is that where we get confused? Where it's like,
I think the biggest difference is this, is oftentimes students will ask, I get stuck on side control, how do I escape? Mm-hmm. It is very reactionary it's a very reactionary decision-making process, okay? I can't pass, how do I pass? What he's doing is questioning the status quo. He's saying, well, do you really need to pass? Do you really need to escape side control? Because maybe you don't. Maybe this is not what you need, you know? Do you need to take the back and put your hooks in?
Right.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't, right? Like, so what he's doing is he is changing the way how you think about jiu-jitsu. So it's not about how do I react in the situation that my partner put me in. What he's saying is, how do I create my own path? And regardless what my partner will do, they will end up where I want them to be. Mm-hmm. And that fundamentally, that changes the trajectory of where you're going. This changes the whole path. This changes the direction, right? You no longer react to where you find yourself at. You are creating your own path, you know? And I think there are some steps associated with all of this, but I think what he's doing is he's trying to step away from, you know, here's three techniques or five techniques how to escape from this position. You know, each technique will have a seven steps and you got to memorize all of them. Well, he says, well, I need you to get to that point because this is a point of advantage for you. An advantage not as a scoring system, but as a control.
Right.
You are in charge here. And if you get there, doesn't matter how, but if you get there, now you're in charge. Now you can go to the next step. And he has these milestones mapped out, which allows him to be fully in charge. And each of those milestones will mm-hmm. only have a handful of answers that your partner
right,
can do.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah. And by knowing what your partner might do, it gives you choices. Mm-hmm. You know he's going to go path A, B, or C.
Right.
If you shut down A and B, there's only path C. Mm-hmm. And now it sets you 100% for success because you know what he will do. And this is listen, we've been talking about this for freaking decades now. Like, this is why often rolling with a more seasoned individual is where you feel that they can read your mind. Like, they are five steps ahead of you.
Yeah.
They are not five steps ahead. They are never five steps ahead of you.
No, they just know the options.
They know the options and they remove your choices. That's it. You have right. only one choice. Like, right. it's just...
Somebody who's on that level, do they remove your choices and give you the only one, or do they have an answer for all five?
They have answer for all five. I'll tell you that. However, this is not what they do. They don't play reaction. They don't give you, pick out of those three and I'm going to react to those three. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to react to the one you chose. No. Here are the three. I know what you can do out of those three. I'm going to give you only one out of those three. And you will walk in exactly what I want you to be. You know, so by me shifting my hips to the side, or perhaps me trapping your wrist behind your back, or me pinning your arm to your chest, whatever the case is, I'm removing everything else. If I control your shoulder, that means you can't roll. You can't roll. If you can't roll, by definition of mechanics, you are stuck. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, I think we can slice this a million different ways, but the point is, you know, when you're looking for the higher success rate in jiu-jitsu, it is not necessarily knowing 50 things that your partner might do, but removing all the opportunities for them to make choices. It's not even an option at that point. And they can lead themselves into the trap. And this is where you succeed. Because no matter what they do, they will always end up where you want them to be. And I think, as jiu-jitsu practitioners, we all should be hunting that level of comprehension and that level of strategy while all of this is unfolding. Because truly, that is ultimate point of control. Think about that. No matter what they do, they end up where you want them to be. That's ultimate point of control. You're not controlling. You're not stopping them from moving. You're just letting them, you're guiding them into the trap.
Cool. All right. Let's leave it there. Later. See if it works.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Raw Radio. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review and help us make the show even more amazing. For future episodes, check out our website and follow us on all major podcast platforms. Take care.